Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 12 minutes or so, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. This week, we're continuing our series on the nature of God with a look at light. The Bible passage for the topic of light is the first 14 verses of the Gospel of John. I'll read it from the New International Version, the NIV. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That passage is etched in my memory because of an experience that I had a little over 30 years ago. I was in an opera on the stage of the Bolshoi Theater in Moscow. The opera, which was entitled I Am the Way, was based on the Gospel of John. A famous New York Metropolitan Opera singer named Jerome Hines wrote it and starred as Jesus. I played one of Jesus' disciples. That's right, I portrayed a disciple of Jesus in an opera on the Bolshoi stage. I realize that most of you don't know me, at least not very well. If you did know me, then you'd know how ridiculous the statement I just made is. It's completely true, but it also is completely ridiculous. Why? Well, for starters, I am not an opera singer. I'm a singer, yeah. I've sung in church choirs and Christian choral groups for much of my life. But there's a big difference between being in the bass section of a small town choir and being in an opera at the Bolshoi. Not only am I not an opera singer, but before I was in I Am the Way, I had never even attended an opera, and I haven't attended one since. The entire experience of I Am the Way was absolutely incredible because God decided it would be. The whole adventure started in 1991. Jerome Hines, who felt that God was calling him to bring his opera to the Bolshoi, called Patrick Cavanaugh, who was the director of a D.C. area Christian performing arts group called the Asaph Ensemble. Hines asked Cavanaugh if he could help make Hines' dream a reality. Cavanaugh decided to try. The next summer, Cavanaugh flew to Moscow. The country was in a state of chaos as it began to move away from communism, which had been in place for over 70 years. There was, essentially, no internet. There were no cell phones. Cavanaugh didn't speak any Russian, and he didn't know anybody in Moscow. Oh, and the Bolshoi never allowed American operas. All that Cavanaugh had was four phone numbers for four people who may be able to help. When he got to his hotel in Moscow, Cavanaugh started dialing the phone numbers. The first one was a dead end. So was the second. So was the third. The final phone number was for someone who once had been a schoolmate of the Bolshoi's director. Cavanaugh called. 2 days later, Cavanaugh was watching an opera at the Bolshoi with the director at his side, and the director agreed to have Cavanaugh meet with the Bolshoi officials. At that meeting, Cavanaugh mystified everyone by stating that his company would perform the opera for free. When they got over their shock, they gave him an agreement for two performances in July of 1993. When Kavanaugh got back to the D.C. area, he informed everyone in the ASOF ensemble, including me, that we had less than a year to prepare to perform I Am the Way on the Bolshoi stage. That fall, we learned most of the opera and performed it a few times at George Mason University. By the way, I actually have proof of this part of the story. Someone filmed one of those performances on, I think it was a camcorder, and years later uploaded the footage to YouTube. If you contact me via throwingmountains.com, I'll send you some links if you really want to watch this. The quality of the recording is, of course, a little bit less than stellar, but it's really a good opera. In late June of 1993, 191 of us, about 10 of whom were New York Metropolitan Opera singers who had performed the main roles, flew from D.C. to Moscow and began to rehearse at the Bolshoi. As if this whole venture weren't difficult enough, Jerome Hines decided to make it even more challenging. Let me explain. The ASOF ensemble was not just singers and members of an orchestra, but also a classical dance troupe. When we did the opera at George Mason University, the dancers were added into a few scenes, including the resurrection of Lazarus. For the Moscow production, Hines decided that it would be a good idea to open the opera with a huge dance scene that depicted heaven and hell, light and darkness. In this opening scene, the ASOF ensemble singers, the chorus, sang the beginning of the Gospel of John, which I read to you at the beginning of this episode. But the dancers in the scene were not just the classical dance troupe, but many of the singers from the ASOF ensemble, including me. Now, I'm an okay singer. I'm a little bit better than a hack singer, but I am not a dancer. But there I was in the rehearsals, dancing around the Bolshoi Theater's practice stage while singing, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Then it was time for opening night on the real Bolshoi stage. We did the opening scene. I have no idea how it went. I was too busy trying to watch the director while I covered nearly half the stage, miraculously not falling down. But the audience actually cheered, not just applauded, but cheered at the end of the first scene. Then the curtain closed, and it didn't reopen for 30 minutes. You see, all our rehearsals had been with the daytime stage crew at the Bolshoi, but the performance was with the production crew, and the production crew apparently had no idea what was going on. The audience started getting restless with the curtains closed. Then the audience got angry. And then in the middle of all this, someone ran out of the audience, jumped on stage, and shouted in Russian that he was the Messiah. Finally, order was restored. The curtains opened for the next scene, and the performance continued. And it was an incredible success, as was the second and final performance two nights later. Almost 1,000 attendees gave their lives to Christ at the Bolshoi. A recording of the opera later was shown on Russian national TV and was watched by hundreds and thousands of people. Pat Kavanaugh, who had gone to Moscow literally on a wing and a prayer, was awarded a special medal by Yeltsin's Minister of Culture. When we were in Moscow, we didn't just sing about God's light. We saw that light. We experienced it. There are many sources of God's light. The Bible is one of them. Psalm 119, verse 105 says that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light on our path. Psalm 119, verse 130 says that the unfolding of God's words gives light and gives understanding to the simple. 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17 says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that a man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. But I would argue that to experience God's light in all its richness, we need more than the Bible. just as God's chosen people in the Old Testament needed more. They had God's law. They knew that if they meditated on it and were careful to follow it, then they would prosper. But the people still walked and lived in darkness. God promised his people that he would send the light that they desperately needed, one that would reveal his glory. That light would come to earth as a child. And that child, of course, was Jesus, who declared that he was and is the light of the world. Here's what else he said. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. By following Jesus, we have the light that we need for a full, abundant life. And we can share that light with others. Early in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that his followers have his light in them. The evidence of that light is not what we say, but the good works that we do. When we seek to glorify God in our actions, our light can burn so brightly that others can't help but notice. If they respond by giving us accolades, then we can point them to God, who powers the light within us. And they, in turn, will glorify God just as we do. Next week, I'll talk about God's love. I hope you'll join me for that. Please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.